What's going on, guys? Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Big Brain Boys podcast. Sorry we've been away. I have been gone giving all of my money to a Chinese real estate investment company. But we're back. We're going to try to get these done. It might be half Zoom. It might be half Zoom, half in person, depending on like flights and stuff. But we got more guests coming at you. And speaking of that, we have our very first guest of the Big Brain Boys. Very, very special guest. Super funny dude. Same hometown as us, Edmonton, Alberta. I wanted to get him on because he's incredibly funny. And also, I think it'd be really, really interesting to talk about a few things stand-up comedy related. Because I think it's something that a lot of people in other art forms, whether it be music or screenwriting or acting or even anything else that's maybe, something you want to pursue, that's, you know, high risk. I wanted to get this guy's take on it. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Will Hannigan.
Woo. Hello. Thanks for having
clap,
me.
Clap, clap,
clap. You'll add in a clap track, right?
Curiosity for learning.
Smartest guy in the room alert.
Stupid.
My brain is big and smart.
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here because we're in. Can we say where we are? And
say the address and the postal. Yeah.
And the postal. I don't remember it, but we're in Sherwood Park. Yeah. And when I looked up, when you sent me the address, it's like right by this path here that leads right to Facey.
Yeah.
And I was laughing because like that's the pathway that I bought oregano in, thinking that it was weed.
And then was your first time ever buying weed?
No, it wasn't. It was minus 40 out and I got clowned so hard for it because I was sick and I was like, all right, I gotta buy some weed from this guy, and I'll say his name, Taylor Schwab.
No idea.
He's just like this little grease ball. And my friend Aaron, actually you probably know Aaron Bordado.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, I know this guy Taylor, and like, and so I like texted him, and he was like, I was like, I'm going home sick for 3 days, so I want to get some weed. And then so I went to this alleyway, like this right over here.
Yeah, it's right down the road.
Yeah, and then he gave me some weed, and it looked like just shake. So I just looked at it. I didn't smell it. It was freezing out. And my mom, I could see my mom's car waiting.
Yeah, you don't have time to examine.
Your mom took you to buy the...
No.
My mom, you got to take me to meet my buddy. Yeah.
No, can I meet at 3? My mom said she's going to be late.
Yeah. Can I get an 8th for my mother as well, please? Yeah, she's had a very tough week.
Yeah.
No, she had no idea. She had like, I was coming out the front of the school to go to the thing, and she came early and I saw her Camry pull up. So I had to go back to the back of the school, run around the side. Come over to the thing. The guy like gave it to me. There was another large man there who met us there, who I believe was the oregano man, like because he gave it to Taylor, who gave it to me, the spice man. Yeah, people say white people don't like spices, and this guy loves spices.
They need to meet spice fake drug dealers if they think that white people don't like spices. Oh, they're very familiar.
Love it. And then he. So he gave it to me and I gave him like $30 or whatever. And then I had to go run around back to the back of the school and then come out front and then sit with my mom the whole time. I was just like, fuck. Like it's going to smell. It's going to stink. And then I got back to the house. She went to run some more errands. I ran over to like the bong that I had hidden in the second garage.
Yeah.
And I like put it in and I was like, this doesn't smell like weed at all. And I smelled it. I was like, this smells like pizza, in fact. And then
I've had this before, but not in my bong.
Yeah. I'm hungry now. I'm hungry, but I'm sober. I don't know what's happening. And then it smelled like pizza, and I should have just known right there, but I was like, I smoked it. I smoked probably four bowls of it.
I'm not gonna go through all this effort for nothing. I'm gonna see if this gets me high.
It's like I gotta be sure, you know. I don't want to like blame this man, you know, for work that I don't understand.
It could be
like,
half, right? It might just be
kind of what I was thinking. The first one I was like, mostly pizza. Second one I was like 100% pizza, and I was like, maybe there's like a little, they put a little bit of weed in there.
Yeah.
Not a single nugget.
And how old were you?
15?
32.
Yeah.
This was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Dude,
just in a high school. In high school at 32.
Hey, can I buy some weed, man?
Back, like, I know it's been so comedically overdone, but back, like, when just like kids these days just don't know how fucking hard it was to like get weed, the shit you had to do.
Dude, they don't like, I mean, whether they know it or not doesn't really matter. I'm just like so jealous of weed pens and children. I mean, I had a hard enough time because that was like the first domino. Maybe not the first domino, but like one of the many, because then I wound up texting him and he said he was going to shoot and kill me. And
oh, shit.
And I was like, very unlikely. And then he,
like, I'll take that chance.
And I was like, I'm going to come to school, but I was sick. So then I couldn't go to school the next day.
Yeah.
So then he started texting me the next day being like, you're a bitch. You're a pussy. You never showed up. Like, you're a coward.
Week, God. Sick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I'm sick. I need my medicine. You're a horrible.
Once I stop at Shoppers, you're fucking dead.
Yeah. Just texting from the passenger seat of my mother's car. Yeah. And then I went to the school one of the days, and then I had told everybody, because I was scared. Like I was scared when he told me he was going to shoot me. I was scared the whole time. That's why I smoked four bowls of it. Cause yeah. I was like, I can't blame him immediately. And then, one of my older sister went to the same high school, and a bunch of her friends like knew about this and knew the guy. And then they were like, oh, he's downstairs right now. And then I had been telling everyone that I wanted to fight him, which wasn't true. Like, I was scared, right?
You're so nerve-wracking. Back when you're just in the teenage years, like, you're just shaking.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So many times
I want to fight that guy so bad. He's here. What?
Oh, fuck. I got to
cool.
go.
Cool. That's great. I'm gonna go to the washroom. And it was between classes, and they were like, we know where his locker is. It's down by the shop. And they were like, come with us. And I was like, yeah. All right.
There we go.
And then I went down to the, like, wherever his locker room was. And I didn't really recognize him, because it was like we were wearing like parkas and shit outside. And I was like, are you Taylor? And he was like, yeah. And then I was like, I was like, can I have some regular weed, please? Or my money back. This is like over $30. Yeah. And then
you hit him with the passive aggressive.
Yeah. I gave him a choice.
Yeah.
I was like, can you please provide me with some money or like a Karen, some like, real weed?
I need my refund. Or
yeah, it's like, I don't know what your process is for refunds. Yeah. But
it needs to be to a man.
Yeah, he's just like, it hasn't been within 30 days. So, yeah, and then so he looked around, and he was with like two of the really skinny little ratty kids. And then he just like puffed his chest up and was like, well, fucking, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, damn it. He didn't, you know, he's not
going to. He called you on the bluff.
Yeah. He's not going to refund me. So then I looked behind me, and there was like two like big hockey guys that were like friends with my sister. They wanted to fuck my sister. And then so I was like.
Friends.
And then so I was like, okay, I have to. So then I started punching him, and then we fought, and and then he almost like knocked me out. Like he hit me like right below the temple, and I remember thinking like, "Oh my god!" Like that would have been that would have been so embarrassing. Yeah. Just like, give me my $30 out. Sleeping. My dad would have been so pissed. And then we got hauled off because like, and the thing was is like teachers got involved, but it was like girl teachers, and so this girl teacher like went and tried to grab him, and he was like coming at like I don't know, I had him like locked up or something like that. And
I had him on the ropes.
Yeah, I had him against the lockers. Yeah, right? Just pinning. That was because that was my method with fighting, because I was always like, always fight. If you're going to fight, don't fight where no one can see you. Fight where everyone can see you, so that all you have to do is wait until someone breaks it up. Like,
that's right.
It doesn't last long. Yeah,
just get on the ground and then just be like, help me right now.
Somebody.
I got myself into a deep situation. And then they pulled us apart. The shop teacher like grabbed me or something, and then one of the women was like, one of the women teachers just cried. She was just like, just cried. And that kind of made us stop. We were like, oh, stop.
This
okay.
isn't you.
Yeah.
Dude, that fucking, oh my God, there's a fucking TikTok. It's such a douchey cutaway, but like that TikTok of like a guy's acting like a girl in high school with fights. She's like, Jason, this isn't you. Yeah. Jason, this is not you. Look at me, Jason, please. Like
in the middle of a fight.
Yeah. We've talked about this before. Like we've done clips about like airplane. There's an airplane fight that we did where during the airplane fight, it's a tube. You know how it is, right? There's no going anywhere. It's front and back and it's blocked both ways.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a fight going on and it's just women screaming, stop, like at the top of their lungs, like would be clipping the mics. Stop, stop, stop. And it's like, it's so traumatic. If they just let it fly, it would actually be over sooner.
Yeah.
In a fighting situation, if you're like fighting a guy and his girlfriend's like, stop. Yes. You're like, yeah.
You know you're crushing it.
You're going to keep going.
You know you're
going.
Crushing it. That's right.
Fuck. Damn it.
So was that freshman year or was that at South?
Yeah, that was 10th grade. And then...
So did you get kicked out for that?
I told everyone I got kicked out, but it was like an agreement amongst my parents. And because my dad and my parents were always like really pro violent, like not pro violence, but like they were cool with it. They just thought like you should
fight.
Someone
claps you up, you got to clap back.
And my dad was always like, you know, whoever hits first usually wins. So he was like, He was always like, his solution, like hitting someone was always in the first three suggestions that he would make for conflict resolution.
Yeah.
So he'd be like, okay, we'll talk to your teacher about your mark. And then if that doesn't work, then like maybe study harder. And if that doesn't work, you should probably hit him.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like how
blue collar dad.
Yes. Very. And so
there's nothing like a blue collar dad.
It's great. Cause I called him and I was like, and the teacher's standing over me just like this guy. And like, and so I called my dad. And he's like, hello. I'm like, hey, dad, I just got into a fight at school, and they have me here in the office. And he was like, okay, well, call me if you need anything. And then he just hung,
That's what I'm doing right now.
And I was like, I was just going to ask you for something.
So oh, shit. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, what do you need?
Yeah, I called him back. The line was busy, so then I had to call my mom.
He makes another call. Yeah, like he's like, that's over for like a good 30 minutes. I can make another call.
Yeah. Well, he was for sure like on the line with like some customer or client or something like that, or like some other oil field guy, and was like, and then, oh, hold on, my son's calling. And
God,
I'm just
damn
like,
it.
Oh, you got in a fight? All right, did you win? All right, call me if you need anything. Hang up. Yeah, he fucking won.
Yeah.
He won.
He kicked his ass.
Yeah.
That's my boy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely like that. And then my mom's just like a hard lady. Like, she's cool. Like, I was doing a show at the comic strip once. Like, the funniest person with a day job is a competition they have there. And then a couple of years
Will
ago.
Will is the winner of Edmonton's funniest person with a day job of 22 or 21?
21, I think.
It was last year?
Yeah, it was last year. It was funny too. I was on a radio interview with the owner of the club, and the radio guy was like, owner of the club, he was like, what made Will stand out as a winner?
Oh, no.
And then the owner of the club was like, well, look, every year we have this competition, and it was just like a sports thing where he just wouldn't answer. And then he did like a 4-minute answer about the club and what they were trying to do, and the radio guy was like, yeah, but what was it about Will specifically that made
him
win?
We're just trying to do our best day by day.
Yeah, you just get out there.
We're just going to get pucks in deep and you know.
Line changes. Everyone plays their role. The judges come out. They do their thing. They drink their wine and, you know, hopefully everyone goes home happy, and that's what we want to see here.
They're like, do you know who Will is?
Have you seen him ever?
Yeah. What's Will's last name? And he's like, I love Will. Will's a great guy.
He's a good guy. He's good, a good honest guy, man.
He tries his best. Gets out there.
Gets pucks deep.
He's a
dump and change.
He's not putting in a lot of numbers up, but you know, he's trying.
He's a glue guy. He's a glue guy.
Yeah, he's a locker room guy.
Great locker room energy. Yeah.
First in the showers, last one out. So he's a good guy.
So sorry, your mom was at the strip
for this? Yeah, she was at the comic strip, and this is like years ago, and there was a table talking beside her, and she told them to be quiet, and they were like a bunch of girls, and they're like, eh. And then she like told them to shut the fuck up, and they were like, meh. And then she threw a candle at them.
Nice.
And like started a fight.
Just the first thing she could grab.
Right on, mom.
She just grabbed it and threw it at them, and then they you know, like, because she also like threw it. She didn't just throw it as like, hey, just shut up. She threw it and then stood up.
Yeah.
You know
For the, like, if you're following up, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it's a good move. Yeah. And anyway, so they're like, really, they were like pro fighting, but they were really anti-drugs. So then when it came out that it was about weed, then it was like my whole life was over. They like pulled me out of school, like, because I remember the principal being like, this is the worst thing we've ever seen here. And I was like, come on. Sal fights all the time for fun. Like,
like, guys showed up with swords here like 2 years ago.
Yeah, you can just like point out fights outside of Sal and be like, those are two future welders there. Like, just beating the shit out of each other.
These guys are going to make a lot of money.
Whoever loses is going to wind up scaffolding for sure.
This guy's literally going to do the roof of this school in 10 years.
Yeah. Every guy who gets knocked out, scaffolder.
Yeah, that's what separates the scaffolders from like the fucking electricians.
Who just has a glass jaw and who doesn't. So then, they were like, you got to go somewhere else. So then I went to Next Step. Mm-hmm. I was a Next Step kid.
You were a Next Stepper.
Next Step correspondence,
dude.
Baby.
For what, the rest of high school or just?
For the rest of the 10th grade. And then they moved me to Edmonton. So I went to Skona for a year or 2 years. And I finished the rest of my high school out in Edmonton, which was a long time.
So you never went to Sal?
Never went to Sal. No, all my boys went to Sal. Everybody,
I thought you went to Sal.
I was trying to leverage the fight into going to Sal. I was like, I think that's like an application to school.
Shoe in.
Yeah.
You get a call from the principal, like, you have a lot of promise.
We saw your tape. And we love it. We'd love to have that kind of energy here.
We'd like to give you a 2x5.
Yeah.
We can't offer you a lot of money, but.
We got a lot of drug dealers here that need their heads caved in.
Yeah, we need a couple drug dealers beat up.
Yeah, because they're the ones kicking the shit out of everybody. So.
You just be the hallway patrol, just selling drugs.
We need a new what's the tough guy in hockey called?
An enforcer.
An enforcer, yeah. We need a new enforcer.
Yeah, just right. A terrified little enforcer smoking oregano.
Don't want to fight at
this
all.
This guy smells like, last thing I remember is he smelled like pizza, and then I'm out.
So blue collar dad, tough mom. That's kind of blue collar, like Alberta parents, though.
For
American listeners, like, it's like Alberta's like Midwest kind of thing. Like, dad'll punch the pizza man for like staying too long, but like, God forbid you like smoke a half a roach before you were 30 years old.
My dad would see tinted windows on a car and be like, fucking doper.
Yeah.
He just hated dope. And then anytime he would smell it, he would go, like he'd do. So anytime I was getting in trouble for having weed at home, because I had weed, I loved weed. The second I found it, I was like, this is everything.
My calling.
Yeah. This is, I don't have to be this anymore.
I'm going to make this my personality forever.
Yeah, 100%. If my parents are cool with it, I would have got a big pot leaf on my shirt. Big pot. I would have dressed in Husky gas station clothes if I was allowed.
Dude, I had one of those weed pajamas. I had an Adidas shirt. I was in like grade 8. I had an Adidas, like the Adidas with the leaf, but it's an Addicted with the weed Adidas leaf.
Oh my God.
I got it in like the 8th grade. And dude, when I tell you, man, the ass whooping that I took for that. Like, my mom did my laundry one time because my mommy did laundry for me. And she found it. And my mom was like, easier. But my dad, did you have the type of dad that like you would just be scared of? Like, you're like, this fucking guy's going to fuck my life.
The threat growing up was,
it was like, when dad comes home.
Wait till your father gets home. Yeah. And then it was like, okay, I'm sorry, I'll do it.
But please don't tell
my father.
You start just like cleaning and doing chores. You're like, fucking, this, I need, you're anything. To, yeah, you're, yeah, like, exactly.
You tuck your shirt in.
Yeah. Hey guys, hope you're enjoying this episode of the Big Brain Boys. Just a reminder, if you're watching on YouTube and you want to listen offline, we've got Spotify, Apple, everywhere you get your audio podcasts, go download those. And if you want video, if you're listening on audio right now, hit the YouTube, subscribe it, follow to the social medias at the Big Brain Boys. Hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. Kind of your introduction to stand-up, were you into stand-up already at that time? Were you watching? Who were your guys? And were you already kind of the funny guy, like, I can be funny with my friends? Or was this something that kind of clicked later?
It was like, I was always like fascinated with the funny guys, like, because I was always like friends with the funny guys. Like, the funniest, like the class clowns, were guys that I would always get in trouble with them. And so I always wanted to be funny, so I was always trying to be funny. But then there's just dudes who just are, they're just are funny.
Yeah.
And so I always love watching stand up. Like, growing up, there's something about like just like stand up I always love watching, and whenever it was on, I would watch. And then in high school and stuff, I was like, I try to be funny, kind of. But I was just more fascinated with like the funny people and like how they were funny and why they were funny. And then that wound up helping me later, because I sucked so bad when I started, but it made it so that I could learn, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if anything, I bet the fascination with funny is more important than being funny at the start, because I know so many people, like even Alberta high schools, like just trades people are so fucking funny. I've worked on like sites that are people, I'm like, dude, this guy would crush if he knew how to do stand-up. But that fascination of like learning the science or art of it, whatever you want to say, it's probably even more important.
There's just like this huge gap between like getting on stage and it's like it's kind of an artistic thing. So you have like theater kids always do really well in like their first like 1 to 2 years of stand-up, because they know how to be on stage and they know how they're like presenting. But then like the funniest people that I know, if they get on stage, they just like shut down and they get uncomfortable. And then, so it's like more so learning how to be yourself in front of everybody, a version of yourself in front of everybody that is like funny or whatever.
I can only imagine. I mean, I know you as a very funny guy. When I think I first started seeing you doing stand up, you were already, you know, you were headlining Strip, headlining Yucks, hosting shows and everything like that. You're already very funny. But your very first gig, how did it go?
Oh, terrible.
Was that the Strip or Yucks?
No, here? I was going to school in Halifax, and I was always wanted to do stand up, but it was like hard to figure out how. Like, I didn't know how. So like I looked up.
You're never really friends with like stand ups. It's like you can just do, and it's hard to even just know that there's a thing you can do.
To find the open mic or like how to get on or whatever. Like that. So I used to go on like the Yucks website and in Halifax, and it said, send a clip of you doing stand up and then you can come perform. And so I would like film myself on my laptop talking. And then I thank God I never sent that anywhere.
Oh, I was gonna, I was like, in the time of my head, I was like, holy shit.
That would have been the stupid, I would have got clowns.
They
would have
put you up on the screen and be like, look at this fucking guy.
Everybody would have made fun of me.
You're doing like, a Zoom audition, yeah.
I was doing a Zoom audition pre-pandemic. And then thankfully my anger, because I was very angry, my anger would like, I would just be slamming the laptop because I'd watch it back and I'd be like, this is insane. What is going on right now? I don't even know how to do stand-up, and I don't even know what I'm talking about. And I never like really wrote jokes or anything like that. I just start trying to tell a story because I used to, I guess like in university, I would come back and like I would talk about my day to when we ate at the CAF, and then I would always try to like, you know, tell stories or make
what
it
tags
funny.
Worked with your friends and yeah, then just kind of do it.
Figure it out and shit. And then the first one I did, I there was like a, they posted on like the Dal students, I went to Dalhousie and the students union thing, they posted like a variety show and they're looking for performers. So I was like, oh, can I do stand-up comedy? And they were trying to raise $25 for a defibrillator, which they didn't make that much money.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because they no one came to the thing. And like I was, so I brought all my friends and I was like, because I could never like write stuff. And then it was like, I had to book the show first before I could like, I was like, oh, now I have to write something.
Yeah.
So I wrote a bunch of stuff, and then I remember, like, yeah, there's a guy who was our RA, like our resident leader or whatever, and he was just, like, a super douche. Like, he would, like, always be trying to, like, fuck all the first years and stuff like that, and then he...
Every RA ever.
Yeah. his name was Tawny, like, T-A-N-Y, and he was, like, he went up before me and did 15 minutes on a Spanish guitar. And it was like, I was wet after it. Like it was,
and you had to follow that?
I followed it and I went up and I didn't know how to talk. So I was just, I was like mumbly. And my first
and
joke.
And so sorry, it's a variety show. So it's like, it's not just a stand-up show. It's yeah. like,
they're like oh,
slam poetry, fucking.
Anything. There's like some people like singing and like, and it's brutal. Yeah. Like it was like a bad talent show, like a talent show with no competition aspect to it. Yeah. Like, so there's like, yeah. And like, so everyone was bad. And when I was watching everyone be bad, I was like, perfect. I'm also going to be bad.
Yeah.
And then Tawny went up in this tight white t-shirt and was like jacked and then just like ripped like flamenco shit for 15 minutes. And then the host went up and was like, oh my God. Like
oh, that's the worst.
She was clearly like, she's like blushing. She's like, oh, everybody, a round of applause for
and then she like
Tawny.
Forgets. And then she like forgets your name. She's like, and yeah, now I guess we have to bring up another dude.
He's going
to
be trying stand-up comedy, everybody. And all my friends came, and then they were all like, "Wee!" Like all excited. And I went up and I was so scared, and I had written something about like wanting, like this is really bad, but the premise was like wanting the way girls have gay best friends, I want a Jewish best friend. I don't know why. I was like, because I don't know any Jews and I want to know Jews. And it's like, I don't know anything about Jews and I don't want to look like an anti-Semite because I don't know any Jews, but I want to know Jews. And then, but then I didn't, I mumbled everything. So then all anyone heard was me be like, Jews. That was the only legible like word that anybody heard. And it sucked the air out of the room. And then I got one laugh on a joke. Because my friends didn't laugh at everything. They just let me bomb. And then when I got off after, they were all like, that was terrible.
Fucking-
They're like, that was brutal, man.
Yeah,
that was so
never
fucking,
do that again,
was
man.
So bad.
Yeah. That's
and,
crazy that you invited your friends to your first time like doing it.
That
like,
is
that
funny. That is
wild
fucking wild,
me.
Yeah.
It. Yeah.
Well, I would never want my friends anywhere near for like the first year.
Yeah.
That
well,
it.
You're an intelligent man. That's very smart. Because I invited my friends out to all my comedy shows. I was so excited to tell everybody that I did stand up.
So you were boisterous in that sense. Because for myself, like I didn't like to tell someone I was a stand up was so like embarrassing. It was like I thought people were gonna be like relaxed.
You
like,
should be like I should have been embarrassed. Like that's the thing is it was so stupid because I burned everything. I burned if I post about a show. No one that I grew up with is cares.
Yeah.
Like everyone's like, well, whatever. Or like they already came to like I'd invite all my boys out to come.
Oh, you're
or,
saying the first impressions you kind of
I bombed. Bombed like I'd be,
that,
I'd be
that's
like,
what you mean by
like
you
by
everything.
Far the worst on the every single show.
Yeah. Right.
And I bring but that have that, I know it happens to
like
other people.
And then you're like, do you want to come back? And they're like, I think we're okay.
Actually, I'm busy that night, I think.
Yeah, no, it's like, oh, this text cannot be received by the
center. It's like, hey, goes what? Green, goes to the green bubble.
What did
yeah.
I say? Was it about the Jews?
Like, what, you hate Jews too?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, are you I invited my friends because I was kind of glad I did because then there was people there. But Once I told them about it, they were all really encouraging. They were like, oh yeah, you should. You're funny. You should do it. You're funny. You should do it. And then they saw it and they were like, that was terrible. Yeah. But it was the only thing I ever did that when I finished, I couldn't, all I could think about was like, how do I get better at this? How do I like figure out how to do this?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I bombed. I came back. That was my first year of university. And then I came back for my second year and I started doing open mics there. And I remember flying from Edmonton to Halifax for my second year. I would have been doing stand-up for like 3 months. And I was like flying to Halifax. And I was like, I think I'm going to get on CBC's 22 Minutes. I think I'm going to get on that. And I was like, man, this is where it all starts. Like
with the plane to Halifax.
Yeah, it was like these huge dreams. I was like, they're going to see me. And like, this is like, I can make shit happen. And then I go there and I just became like the lightning rod, you know, like of shit, like the shit rod, like where, you know, like
shit rod,
you know, like when you're working and there's just one guy who sucks so bad that it doesn't matter what goes wrong. You can just make it his prop. Like,
yeah.
So that was like that on every show. So I was the novelty bomb on every single show. And then if I was getting laughs, I would get a laugh and I would be like, what?
Yeah.
Like you could see in my face, people would be laughing. I'd be like, why are you doing that? I sucked for a long fucking time.
And so during that time, like you had friends out in university, obviously, and you said, you know, kind of burned the first time to show them whether you were funny or not. But like friends and family, close friends and family, what was it like? Because stand-up is such a, one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on is because it's such a, I think there's so many like interesting points of a stand-up coming up that's like, you know, music can relate to, screenwriters, actors, because it's such a thing where it's like, hey, it's such a low chance of it working out, such a low chance of you being any good, such a low chance of like finding success, but you just keep doing it anyways.
Yeah.
What were like the challenges? Like was family and friends like, hey, maybe we slow down, or like were they supportive? What were the obstacles?
They were excited when I told them, and then they'd see me, and then after they'd be like, "You should probably go back to school."
you have a plan B, right?
Yeah, like, I remember I told my mom, and she was like, "That's so great that you're doing like that's so great," and then she saw me do it, and then she was like, "Are you sure you want to leave school?" Sure. So then everyone gets excited because it's like a cool thing to say, like I'm doing stand-up. Like that's like one of the biggest, like when I see new comics starting, they get so excited because they're like, I'm a comedian now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I know you're not, but like whatever. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. I'm glad you're having fun.
Yeah.
But like, so then
glad you're having fun.
The challenge was like,
it's just wasted in the back of the green room. He's just like, have your fun.
Yeah, you know, you get up there. Get up there. Well, you talk to me after the fucking show. I'm trying to think of what like the challenges were, because I don't think I was so focused on it that it was hard for me to notice whether people thought it was stupid or not.
It sounds like you kind of accepted the fact that like, this is something I'm not going to be good at off the bat. And it was tunnel vision maybe.
Yeah. It was just like, I heard, Louis, there was like this thing like Talking Funny on HBO.
And yeah.
It's
him, like, and Louis, Gervais and Seinfeld and Rock.
I think on there, he said like, it takes 10 years before you can consider yourself a comedian, just in general, like a comedian. And when I heard that, when I first started, I was like, all right, I'm going to check back in 10 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty much kind of how I thought about it.
It's almost like a weight off the shoulders of like, oh, I can just go in autopilot and not worry about making it tomorrow or not. Just in 10 years, I'll look back and be like, oh, there it is.
And then it doesn't matter if like people understand or not, because it's like, a lot of people, like a lot of my friends of my age were like young and everyone was doing stupid stuff. So everybody treated it like a phase, so that like everyone like close to me was like, oh, you're still doing that? Okay. That's good for you. You know,
just
like
right.
The same way, you know, like someone who makes candles at home, everyone's like, oh, you could maybe turn this into something. Like,
and you haven't sold any, but I think they'll start.
Yeah. And they smell it. They're like, whoa,
what is that?
One day.
Yeah, exactly. What,
they're asking questions.
Keep
like,
keep working.
What did you put in this?
It's just that is like a unique smell.
Where did you get that? Where did you get the ingredients for this? It's oregano, actually. It's a pizza flavor. So I don't know, man. Like, it's I definitely like took my lumps and like lost like relationships and stuff like that. But everyone would always just tell me like, well, make sure you have a plan B, or make sure, mm-hmm. or like, oh, do you make enough money at that? It was more so like passive aggressive remarks, mm-hmm. of like, oh, can you make a living doing that? And I'd be like, yes. And I wouldn't be, yeah. like, well, I'd be like, yeah, I can. Yeah. I'm doing fine.
Yeah. I was just talking to Matt about this on the drive over here, about like what people think about, you know, these kind of things, podcasts, stand up videos, all this kind of stuff. And usually what it takes is people seeing money, mm-hmm. like, especially parents, like,
yeah,
you know, I can speak for, parents for sure, is like, it's usually money. And then they're like, oh, it's a real thing. It's not just like, we were talking with this about the podcast, about like, you know, you can have XYZ, but then it's like, you start making money and they're like, oh, it's not just you guys like jerking off on camera. It's a real, yeah. it's like, no, we've been really, we are really trying to do it.
Yeah, it is.
And it's usually money that what it takes people to see.
It's money. And like, and it's scary too. Like the first time my parents came to an open mic, there was a guy who...
You brought your parents to an open mic?
Yeah, and because I didn't even know what open mics were. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't even understand the difference between like a club show, a booked show, like a weekly, a bar. Yeah. There's like all different types of shows that are like sort of like have like a hierarchy of like...
There's okay, show up, go up, and then there's like you got to be booked on it for this open
mic. Yeah, like someone saw you at the show up, go yes. up, and then asked you to come on, and then you yeah. do well at that one, and maybe you get a guest spot at the club or, you know, whatever. There's like a higher... I had no idea. I was like, I'm just pursuing this dream. Like, I was so excited yeah. about it. And they came, and the first comedian to talk to them started crying about his one-man show. And about this like guy, and he actually wound up being he defaced a war memorial and went to prison 3 years later.
Oh, fucking hell, dude! That's the beauty of open mics—the fucking people you see at these things.
Yeah, and so my parents were like, "That's what my son wants to be—is a man crying on White Ave." Like
they judge you on your peers. Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
And so yeah, once they see money, it's good. But then the money comes like it just turns into gig work, and like it's. It's hard because it's sometimes they'll tell you what they think, but a lot of times people won't. They'll just be like, they're talking like behind your back about mm-hmm. like, oh, he'll grow out of this, or he'll realize that he has to settle down and get like a real job.
Right.
Yeah. He has to do something real. And like that, so that that never like really motivated me. I was like, whatever. I kind of looked at it as like, I'm either going to like kill myself or do this. So
sure, yeah.
When you have that sort of like, when
that's
you're like,
your plan B.
Do I kill my or do I? Oh, just go.
Do I go to that? Open? Yeah, I'll just go to that next yeah. open mic.
It's like, God, that show was bad. It's like, better go kill my
next.
I'll try tomorrow.
Seems a little extreme yeah. for how bad
not
that
quite
was.
There.
Yeah, I got a couple laughs. Yeah. You know,
that's so funny. That is the therapy of like of doing comedy.
I'll say it's therapeutic. It's not therapy. I always get like stingy about this, because when I hear like comics talk, because I'll watch someone go out, because I also like I like everyone doing stand up, and I used to hate hobbyists or hate people that did it part time or hate mm-hmm. the people that didn't respect it or what. Now I don't care. Now I'm like, everybody yep. should come yeah. and try it, right? But like people would be like, oh, it's so therapeutic to get that off my chest, to talk about my dad dying. And it's like, yeah, but that sucked.
Yeah.
It sucked.
Sucked the fucking life
sucked.
Out of the room.
You wasted your dad's memorial speech like on these.
If your dad could see what you just turned him into as a bit at an open mic for a comedy show.
He'd
like,
be pissed.
Yeah, you're just like taking out your dad issues, which I do that, but at least I have the respect to cover it with...
Put some jokes in there.
Some sort of jokes.
Yeah. You gotta make it about the audience too.
Yeah, because like the way I look at it is like, for every minute you waste, depending on how many people are in that room, that's like, if there's 10 people in that room and you waste 1 minute, you've wasted 10 minutes. Because there's 10 people in there. Yeah, and every minute you waste... And I mean, I wasted a lot of fucking people's time.
And what was the first moment of like, oh, there's some momentum here. There's some positive, like, this is maybe something that's looking on the up and up, or something that I can maybe do.
The first time I got to go on the road, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. I'm going to be becoming a road comedian. And then people found out who I was going on the road with. And he's like a guy who's like punched women and fucking like punched...
And you're like, that's my boy. Like, we're really close.
Yeah, he was like, he told me when we were on the road, he's like, I don't make my openers pay for gas. He's like, all I ask is that when we stop, they wash my windshield. And I was like, okay.
Fucking hell.
Seems fair.
Yeah, that's
all
right.
I was like,
that's
growing up, I was like, I don't want to pay gas. I was like, you always like help people. And I was like, this makes sense. And he was like, do you know so-and-so? And I was like, yeah. He's like, do you know that you notice he doesn't really open for me? And I was like, yes. And I had no fucking idea. It's like, how would I know that? And he was like, that's because one time we went to fill up the car and he just sat in the car. He didn't wash the windshield.
Oh, no.
And so, anyways, so like...
Some fucking weirdos in this thing, man. Dude, like
every time, and that's the beautiful thing about like comedy is like every time that you think like, oh man, this is it. This is real. This is happening. something happens right after that to make it look so stupid. So I'm like, I get to do the Just for Last Festival. This is so great. And then I show up to the show and I'm like, oh, this is an open mic.
Or like you meet an exec and you're like, this is a fucking exec. And then he's like, you mind if I jack off in front of you? And you're like, oh my God.
Oh,
man,
that's all. Jesus. I'm surprised you're so old and you can still shoot cum that far.
That's actually really impressive.
I'm more impressed by your prostate than what you can do for my career. So it's a lot of stuff like that. So then So first row gig was like pretty big. That was super exciting. Bombed my fucking ass off. Because you need the right amount of delusion to ignore the risk that you're taking. Mm-hmm.
There is a screw loose that's
like,
required.
Yeah, like as a content creator, like what was that like starting? And like when did it ever go from like, well, it's just something I'm interested in doing to like, this is something I'm interested in like pursuing?
Oh, well, I've known Patsy for, you know, how long have we known each other? 10 years?
10 years, I'd say.
And you know, so he's been around for when I was like making I was making vines. Be making vines. I mean, obviously it's Vine, right? It's nothing serious, but like I was making vines every day, like sketches,
still
like
doing real sketches,
real character, like not just like, you know, filming myself taking diarrhea or something, but like actual shit. And then Vine went away and I would be like, you know, this is what, 2014, 15 or something. Right after high school.
10 years ago.
And then, you know, and, it didn't hit, and I would be making videos like every day, every other day, and posting them on Instagram and getting like, dude, I remember getting like 13 likes on a video or something like that. And just like people, dude, and I would go to family dinners with like my girlfriend at the time, like her family dinner.
Yeah.
And you know, and them being like, what do you, dude, I remember there was this one, sorry to go off on a story, but I think it's funny.
Tell it.
We were at a big family circle dinner. And like they got older brothers and older guy cousins and stuff. So it's all in there, and they're all like tradesmen, working guys and stuff like this. And I remember like I was sitting at one end of the table and they were asking like, it's a funny story. They were like asking like each guy by guy, like what's new in their life. And one of them's like,
no,
I got a promotion at work. I got like this up promotion at work. Yeah. I just graduated from school. One of them like got flown out to California for like work for like some crazy degree and like this, and it kept getting better and better. It was like the opposite of like those Russian dolls where it gets smaller. Then it ends up like that. And it got, and it's like grandparents and it's parents and parents and aunties and uncles. And then it got around
someone
to
at the end's getting sucked off right there. Just like,
exactly.
Life is awesome. Like,
yeah. And I remember literally in my head, my girlfriend at the time was beside me. And I remember in my head being like, I should lie. I should not say what I'm like doing. I should just lie. And then, but she would be like, what? I was going to be like,
I'm an astronaut. I'm a fucking astronaut.
Just been hired by NASA.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Lifetime contract. Your one-up character just comes out and you start chewing gum. Well, everyone's like,
actually,
how much time do you have? And I remember being like, I should fucking boldface lie right now.
Yeah.
And then it came around to me and I was like, yeah, I, you know, do comedy and videos and stuff. And just like the bottom of the room, like, and just like the grannies and like the old, like, uncles and stuff were just like plates, forks dropped on the plate. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
And just like,
get the fuck out of the house.
Yeah. Like, how long do you plan on dating or, that like kind of shit. Yeah. And you just got to keep. And then you're like, all right, I guess I'll keep.
You're like, everyone's looking at me. And then you look at them and they're all looking at your girlfriend. Just like, what the fuck have you done?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I remember, just many of those. And cause it's not, no one sees it. Kind of the same thing. Like, when you get money, they start to believe it.
Mm-hmm. When you get money or when they're miserable.
Twinkle in the eye?
Yeah. My cousin is an engineer and she worked so hard in school and then like was always very driven. And then when I told her I was doing comedy, because when everyone's like checking, I learned on the road once to never tell anyone you do stand up because it just turns into they just start talking to you and they're like, just tell me a joke. Just lie. Yeah. Tell you a joke or like whatever the fuck. And so I told her, I was like, well, I'm trying to do stand up comedy. And she like grabbed me and she was like, do it. She was like, do it.
Let me live through
do
you.
Do me your passion. Life. She's like, I thought I was doing the right thing and I wasn't. I was like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's like, as long as you have food in your belly, you'll be fine. And I'm like, okay. All right. 100%. I'll listen to you.
Yep. Yeah. And yeah, I didn't see any positive momentum until this year, earlier this year, because it wasn't, I had three TikTok accounts banned. Like, I would make sketches. Like, it took me so long to get on TikTok because I didn't want to, I was like, I didn't want to like put my sketch beside like fucking Charli D'Amelio doing like a dance or something. Yeah, I was like, that's not me. So then it took so long to even get on TikTok. And then like I got three accounts banned. I'm on my fourth. And then when I made the one up guy, it blew up. And it's been years of just like actually doing it and people being like,
just putting shit out onto the internet just for it to like,
and same thing, like you said, people being like, oh, you're still doing that. Like you're still, and they always say little. Yeah, they're like, are you still doing your little videos? And I'm just like, you motherfucker.
That's only okay if they don't speak English as their first language. Yeah. If they speak English like the Uber as their
driver,
first language.
If the Uber driver says it, it's all good.
Yeah. Because whatever it is, you could be like, I'm building this like building. And they're like, oh, that little building over there is but big one day. but if it's like English is a first language, they're like, oh, you're doing your little sketch. It's like, shut the fuck. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, but yeah, it's good to English as a second language. Everything is just in size. They're like, oh, you speak little English. Yes, little English. I'm big English. Big English me. Yeah. No, man. I said it again, but like we wanted to get you on the pod because it's like there's so many people who I think can like, even if they don't do stand-up, whatever the fuck it is, music or acting, screenwriting, anything like that, it's like, I love talking to people who are like, they jump headfirst into this thing knowing that everyone's like, hey, you shouldn't jump headfirst.
Have been through the ringer a little bit and like
seen it firsthand. And you go and to make it out on the gauntlet on the other side is like even just with half a soul.
Yeah, and it's scary because I think that's so like cool that you, because I've always been terrified of like, of filming myself. Like the nice thing about stand-up for me for a long time was like, I can get better in the dark kind of. Like, yeah, I'm doing this in front of people and ruining their evening, but like, it's just their evening, you know? And like when they remember it, they won't, it's not like I'm,
that memory will kind of go away.
Like my family will be embarrassed to say what I do, but not, they won't have to like show someone what I'm doing. Okay, you know what I mean?
And like, yeah, they like, I looked up your son. I Googled your son's name and they're like, oh
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they just don't say, they Google it and then they're like, they don't say that, they Google it. And so I think that's like so cool that you've like done videos for so long and like kept at it, because like I think you do need a level of denial where you have to, even if you understand that there's consequences or it could fail or whatever, you have to like really pretend that doesn't exist and just like cut that part of your brain off, because like the fear of doing stuff is what stops people from doing it. And the fear isn't like, you know, what if I never do it? The fear is like, what if I do it and I don't get, I'm not good at it?
It's, and you like, blink and like your life's ruined. You committed 15 years to this thing and you're like, oh, I have to just stop now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing that helped me though is like, if someone's like considering trying it, is it's like going to the gym when the first couple of days that you go, like ever, you're like, everyone's looking at me. I'm fat. Oh, yeah. I'm ugly. My butt smells weird. Like,
oh, realizing, you know, that they're not actually looking
realizing,
at you.
Yeah. Once you go for a bit and then you see somebody like that, and like the tiny amount of time in your head that they occupy of being like, oh shit, that looks, yeah, I remember that. And then you just keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. That's how most people are when they look at the stuff that you do. Yeah. They don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't care at all. Even your like family and stuff don't think about you that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Which is 100% sad. Yeah. Like
sad realization, but
yeah.
Yeah. Even especially like a dad will purposely block it out. He'll be like, oh, that's my son. God. That's what my son's doing. Yeah.
My dad will like, I'll be talking to him and I can tell when he stops listening. Cause which is like in seconds. Cause like I can tell when he lies and, cause I'll ask it and I'll be like, oh, I think I have to do that. And he'll be like, oh yeah, you gotta do that. I'll be like, oh, have you ever done that before? And he'll go, yes. There's like this this half second where you ask him if he's done something and he's just like, yes. It's so out of his like, out of his regular speech pattern that it's like, it's obvious when he like,
you're putting that on. Yeah.
And sometimes he'll like, he'll use like every time I try to explain to him the difference between like why you're supposed to say indigenous and not Indian, he'll like explain his side about like, he's like, well,
It's called the Federal Bureau of Indians.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
called
yeah.
the Indian Board. That's what the government calls it. So what do you want?
I didn't fucking pick it.
They change it. They keep flip-flopping. They want this. They want that. He's like, Indian. It's just Indian. Yeah. And I'm like, well, there is a word you can use, and it is indigenous,
right.
And that is more. And as the second I say, well, there is, he's like.
Yeah, he just starts watching the game. He's like, yeah.
And then at the end, I explain. I'm like, do you understand? And he goes, yeah.
Got you loud and clear, buddy.
I don't know what these fucking
Texas size 10-4, pal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I can't talk to your sisters like this. They get all fucking pissed off.
He's like, yeah, talking about indigenous and Indian. He's like, you know, I love you, buddy.
You're a good kid.
Yeah, I went to visit him for Christmas, and I like was in the kitchen after he made dinner and stuff, and he put some stuff away. And he was just there, so I gave him a hug, and like, and I went to give him a hug, and he was like, "All right, let's get this over with." He hugged me, but I know he's saying that like for him, like he's like terrified because like he will say like, I don't know where your dads are at with saying "I love you," but like he used to just, I'd be like, "All right, Dad, like, thanks for talking to me." He'd be like, "Yeah, all right, bye," and then he'd hang up,
not even to give you the chance.
Yeah. So now what I do is I've made a point of saying like, okay, at the end of our conversation, and I know he's waiting for it too, because he'll get quiet if I finish talking. He'll get quiet and be like, "Oh yeah, well, you know, that's about it going on here." And I'm like, "All right, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll give you a show in the next couple of days, and I love you." And he goes, "I love you too, bye." Hangs up like as soon, like I could be in the middle of a conversation and be like, "I went to the store today, and I love you," and he'd be like, "I love you too, bye."
Whoa. Hangs up, he's like, "Oh God."
Oh, my son loves me.
Yeah, Jesus.
I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah. Is he, you think he's gay? Yeah. You think he would have told me by now that he.
That's why he hangs up. He doesn't want the gay to get to him. He's like, love you. Jesus. Yeah. Emotions.
Yeah. That was cool. He
throws the phone away. Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah. If we're on FaceTime, I say I love you. He's like,
looking at me like.
It's like looking like this. Yeah. I love you.
He just starts imploding like.
Yeah. I remember the sex talk with my dad was him opening the door because my mom caught me with a girl. And, which
nice.
But she caught me with a girl, and then she was told my dad, "Go talk to your son." And my dad was like, opened the door, and he was like, "Son?" And I was like, "I don't want to talk to you." But, and he was like, "Look, your mother said that I got it." Your mother,
it's always your mother said.
I know. And I was like, I know what you're going to say. I know I did something. But he's like, "You just," because like whenever he doesn't know what to do, he just starts getting angry and starts yelling like louder.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like if you're upset with something, he'll get more upset than you. So then you're like, "Oh, I guess I shouldn't be upset about this."
Yeah.
And then so I was like, "Yeah, whatever." And he's like, "You don't, your mother said, look, you just, you got to be nice, all right? And girls, you like girls, right?" I was like, "Yeah." And then he was like, smiled, and he was like, "All right."
That's my boy.
No, no, wear a condom, no nothing. Like, he's like, "Be nice and make sure it's girls."
It's girls, right?
It's girls, right? Yeah, he was so happy when he found out I was kissing a girl. He was like, and my mom was like, "Yes, right, he was drunk." My dad was like, "Well,
whatever.
A couple of drinks, what are you going to do? He's kissing a girl."
He walks away, and he's like, "Let's fucking go."
Yeah.
Atta boy.
Those dad talks when he gets you alone and you're just like, it's just quiet and the radio's on. He just turns down the radio and looks over and he's like, "You like girls, right?" And it's like, "Yeah, I do like girls." He's like, "All right." Turns up Shania Twain. I did a joke about that for a long time about how my dad said he was making a joke. He was like, my son, because he was arguing with my sister on the way to school about gay rights. It was when, homosexual marriage got legalized in Canada or whatever, like, I don't know when, 2008, 2010, and we were talking about it because they had polled the nation. They'd like call houses. Yeah. I don't know if you remember that they call landlines like at dinner time and see for surveys. He answered the phone at dinner time once because the rule is,
which is already a mad dad.
You never answer the phone at dinner time.
Yeah.
And my dad, for some reason, someone was telling him he was wrong about something, and he was like, I gotta get the phone. He gets the phone. He's like, "What? Government of Canada?" And he like looked at us. He's like, "What do I think of gay people getting married?" "You want to know what I think about gay people getting married? Hold on a second." And then he went to the bedroom while we're all eating in silence as we can hear him being like, "This motherfucking fucking nation is falling apart."
That would have comes, full meltdown.
Comes back like heaving. He's like, I'm not hungry anymore. It's like, Jesus Christ, man.
Dude, blue collar dads, man, they're fucking amazing.
It's so funny.
They're just characters, man. And it's like you watch them when it's your dad. It's like you don't agree with, like, I don't argue. I don't press my dad on anything now. Like, yeah, I just, no. I used to be like, Dad, why don't, like, what? And now I just let him fly. Mm-hmm. I let him. He's like, what's the toys where you wind it up and then let it spin and it just goes,
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
I do like that now. Like, I'll like poke him and tease him a bit. I'll be like, Dad, you know, there's fucking 32 genders, and he's like, God fucking God damn it, the like, I'll just see him like having a really good time, yeah, and I'll be like, how can I fuck this up for him? Like,
yeah,
and I just,
yeah. Someone's gonna snap out. It's either going to be me or him. Mm-hmm. Might as well make it him. Yeah. I told my dad this weekend that if he didn't, he like hates unions. And so I told him I was going to vote for the NDP. He was just like,
yeah, that's right.
Because I was like, unions aren't all bad. And he was like, they're horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if you don't admit that unions are a little bit good, I'm going to vote for the NDP. And he's like, God, fuck, son of it. Like, he just gets
all the
so
gears are just turned. He's like, I don't know what the fuck to do.
He's like, I didn't think you'd put me up against the wall like this.
Yeah. Rock in a hard place, motherfucker.
Dude, I would love to see my dad like on Twitter, like when they were like Facebook, when it's like those like things where it's like fucking retweet if you're not gay.
Yeah.
I would
yeah.
love to see my dad get put in a hole like that.
That would be fun. It would be fun to watch like my dad get, or like a dad just get angry and then have to type out a tweet with an index finger. Like, just like, I do not think, you know, usually when I'm at my dad's place, it's just my dad and me. And it's kind of just like, I got to figure out how to like talk to him about stuff and like kind of sort of try to lead in the right direction and like bail out of certain conversations. But my great uncle was there. So then it's like two old dudes versus like, so then they started talking about like the LGBTQ stuff. And
they always call it LGBBQ or some shit. They know what it's called, but
all that stuff, whatever they got going on.
They know what the fuck
all
it's called.
All the letters, all that stuff. And I love gay people. I know every gay guy I met, hey, good to meet you. You know, your sister has lots of gay friends. And I said, fuck, that's great. As long as it's not you, as long as it's them.
Yeah.
And he was like, your grandfather, my father, he loved parades, Klondike days, Canada Day, loved parades. Anytime there's a parade, he was there. He just loved, you know, the float, something about the parades. So he goes to San Francisco with my mother, your grandmother. And, I just got a call from my mother saying, well, your father said he's never going to go to a parade ever again. He's like, he went to a gay pride parade.
Yeah.
I think it was just a regular parade.
Yeah.
And then he was like, what the fuck is that? What is going on? And he was like, you're laughing. It's funny. Ruin parades for him. You ever think about that? He could never go to a parade. I was like, well, why did
And he's telling you the story as if you're going to be like, no fucking way. Right. Like,
they took parades away.
First
like,
parades, like what's a, next?
Yeah, it's like as if it's a right. And I was like, does that stop him from going to parades?
Yeah.
Like, he went to the gay pride parade. Also, why wouldn't you go to a different parade?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, he wouldn't go because he wasn't sure if that shit would start breaking out.
Also, it's funny because, like, pretty much all parades are pretty fucking gay. Like, and even if it's a whatever
parade.
You have
to throw candy like this.
Yeah, it's pretty. They're all pretty gay. Like, you know, they're all, it's, you know, hey, and I love gay people.
But that's why they're fun.
Yeah,
that's why parades are fun.
But most parades are really gay.
Yeah. It's so funny to be watching it, just a parade and be like, oh, this is nice. And then one guy pulls his dick out and you're like, now it's gay.
Now it's
gay.
It's fucking gay.
That's fucking bullshit.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Dude, old school dads want to do gay shit up until it's gay. You know what I'm saying? Like, they want to listen to like girl music and they like drink like fruity drinks until it's like a gay thing to do or like parades. They're like, dude, I fucking love pom-poms and shit and singing. But then it's like, pulls his dick out and it's like, now it's fucking gay. It's like, it was gay for a while.
Yeah. It was always, my dad would always like listen to Shania Twain and be singing, man, I feel like a woman. And then we'd pull up to a light and then it would be like, he'd look over and it was a guy in another car. He just shut it off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then you hit the green light again and it's like, like just right back into it.
That's amazing.
Just getting back to the comedy side of it. Do do you have like a worst bomb or like a worst heckle that's ever happened besides, you know, just starting out? Like something go completely sideways?
There's one, because I was thinking about that, because you sent me some of the questions and I was like trying to think of the worst bombs, and like every time I think that there's a worst bomb that I could have, another one happens. And
one of
I did one notable one. I used to do a joke about being the premise was like essentially I was scared in my car driving on the highways, and then I'd look over and see a smart car passing me, and I'm like, how are you not scared?
Mm-hmm.
And like the joke was something like, my uncle's a truck driver, and if he saw a deer on the road, he would swerve to avoid the deer. If he saw a smart car, he wouldn't even change gears. Like, he'd just run it over.
Yeah.
And then that was like I drove to like interior BC into this small mountain town, and I saw all these trucks outside, and it was like, a community event, and it was all centered around the show. So everyone buys tickets to the show, and a portion of the ticket goes to pay the comedians, and the rest goes to fundraise or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I was opening for this comic, Lisa Baker. Yep. And we drove separately. So I show up there, and then I go up. It's like everyone's excited. They're like clapping. I'm like, all the indications that this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And then so I go up, and I do that as my first joke, because I'm like, all these trucks are out here. I can get it's going to get something at least. Mm-hmm. I'll be able to survive, and I have to do 30. So I do it as my first joke, and it's like I talk about the semi truck running over the smart car, and it just... like just silences the room. And I was like, okay. And then I went into the next joke. Nothing, 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 nothing. So it was like,
fuck.
After that joke, it was 27 minutes I did to like a full room. Mm-hmm. And they started chatting and like turning away. And like, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck. And then so I got off, and the headliner was like, the fuck is wrong? Like, cause they only hear you bombing. That's it.
Yeah.
They only hear the crowd not laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is Lisa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her and I are good friends now.
Yeah, she's very funny.
And then so I'm like sticking around. I know, and I'm like just feeling horrendous because it was like a well-paying gig for me at the time. And I'm standing by the bar, and I'm trying to order something, and the bartender like won't even look at me. And this drunk girl that comes up, and Lisa murders. Like, as soon as Lisa gets on, it goes from like, this is a bad show, to like everyone's dying laughing at any sort. She's just like, what the fuck are you both doing? And then everyone's like, ah! Like,
which is the worst, because you could almost walk off and be like, that crowd sucks. And then the next comedian goes on and murders, and you're like, oh, it was a good crowd.
It was me.
You find a mirror somewhere. And so this like girl is like hammered. No one will talk to me either. Like I go to talk to the organizer. I was like, thank you so much for having me. And she's like, just looks and talks to somebody else. And so I'm standing by the bar, and this drunk girl walks up, and she is like, that was very good. She's like, you didn't do very good. And I was like, yeah.
Christ.
I was like, I know. And she was like, but she's like, it was a smart car joke. She's like, because last week, one of our members of the fundraising team got run over while driving a smart car.
No,
fuck me.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, God.
And here you were like, this is going to be the match that lights the fire. Great.
And like now I know, like I learned, like you learn from that. So like, because I told another comedian that I was opening for about that story, he was like laughing at me, and he was like, yeah, dude, like if something doesn't work that usually does work, check in. Just be like,
did I do something here?
Sorry, did I upset someone? Because I could have just been like, did I upset? Is it everything okay? And then someone could have told me, and then I would have been like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not making fun of that person.
No
idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Because, like, it was all over their newspapers.
Yeah,
they just, like, literally had the memorial. Like, it was like, it was literally everybody was coming out and, like, putting on their jacket that night, being like, wow. We miss Craig, but
this is our first night to get back to normal.
Yeah. And this guy's like, you imagine getting fucking run over by a semi truck? And everyone's just like, fuck. It's like mother's there.
Yeah.
And I had no idea the whole time. And so that was like probably one of the worst
that's
bombs.
Brutal. That's pretty brutal.
That's just bad timing right there.
Hey guys, hope you're enjoying this episode of the Big Brain Boys. Just a reminder, if you're watching on YouTube and you want to listen offline, we've got Spotify, Apple, everywhere you get your audio podcasts, go download those. And if you want video, if you're listening on audio right now, hit the YouTube, subscribe it, follow to the social medias at the Big Brain Boys. Hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. I wanted to talk to you about sobriety because you are, am I correct, completely drink free for several years? Yeah. Is that correct?
Alcohol free. I still smoke weed like every night,
yeah.
You know, Yeah. So, but
so was there a specific moment when you, when it was like, oh, this is when I got to stop drinking, or was it a big period of time where you were like, I need to start escaping from this, or was
It's like I knew I had a problem, and then I knew I would be like, I'll stop at one point, but I never wanted to stop. I was like, I don't want to be that guy that can't drink. Like, mm-hmm. that guy sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I know guys like that and I don't like them, but that was because I was drinking like all the time. So, the big moment is, it's not that funny. Cause I got a DUI and when I lost my license, the relief I felt, I was like, oh, I don't have to drink and drive anymore. That's great. Like that was like my first thought. Mm-hmm. So then I kept drinking for a year, and then my life just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And I tried to quit. So I got into doing and I'm always kind of grateful for it in a weird way. I started doing hard drugs as a way to keep drinking. So I'd drink until I was I'm too fucked up right now. And I go to the bathroom, and then I'd be like, I'm back. I can drink again. Yeah. And I just kept doing that and doing that and doing that. And it was a gas pedal for all my problems. Like everything, money problems got worse. Relationship problems got worse. Health got worse. Everything got worse. And I was living, everything was bad. So the roommate I was living with, one of my best friends was he left. Well, we kind of kicked him out. There was he had cut himself really bad. And I was just with a lot of people that were really sick. Mm-hmm. And I was, for a long time, I was they're way more fucked up than I am. And then eventually all those people kind of moved away or got out of my life. And then it was it was just me and my problem. Mm-hmm. And people around me, Lisa Baker was one night we were at a party, she was begging me to quit drinking. Cause everyone has really that. It's they don't tell you really until you have the problem. You find out everybody has somebody that is either died, dying, will die, mm-hmm. or from addiction issues. And then it comes out when they watch you do it or whatever. Yeah. And so I tried to quit a couple times. I would be cause I was I just can't, do cocaine. I just can't do that. And then, so I'd stop, I'd get a job and I'd work for weeks. And it was so hard. I was fighting. Every day was this fight to not do drink and do drugs.
Yeah.
And I always felt I can never do this. How am I supposed to live the rest of my life sober if this is what it's like? Cause I wasn't getting any help or anything. I was I can do this. I can just stop.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the 3 weeks, I would have a glass of wine and I'd be I'm a guy. I can just have a glass of wine.
Yeah, right.
A glass of wine. And then the next night, just drink and do drugs for 18 hours straight. Yeah. Just right. Immediately right back. Way worse than it was before. And so I tried breaking up with the first time I went to a meeting, I was I'm either going to go to an AA meeting or I'm, cause my family was asking me to go into a facility and that they would help pay for it or help me at least organize it or something like that. And I was no, I can't, I don't want to go to a facility because I was so scared cause I had tried to quit on my own so many times that I was I'm going to go, the money's going to get spent and then I'm going to come out and I'm going to get right back into it. Yeah, I kind of knew that. So I was I got to kind of figure out how to do this on my own, but at least get help on my own. But I was deciding, I remember I was sitting with my girlfriend and I was I was having this fight in my head. Cause I was I want a beer. I just want to order a beer. But I knew that if I had one, I was going to have a second one, mm-hmm. and then I was going to have a third one.
Yeah.
And then I was going to, since I started, I was going to keep going. Yeah. And so I was going to go buy some drugs and then I was going to go party again. And for a long time that would excite me. I'd be this is going to be fun. This is going to be exciting. Or oh, I had a couple of drinks. Now time to have fun.
Yeah.
And then, but this was the time where I was I felt so helpless. I was there's no way for me to avoid this. I can't just have a drink or else this is all going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to break up with her at lunch and really like with half ass, like I was like, I just don't think we should be together and stuff. Cause I was like, she's like an angel. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to die. Like, I already know I'm going to die. And this is, I'm going to kind of kill myself through this. So you have to get away. Like,
yeah, you're just pushing away.
I was trying to say that without saying that. Mm-hmm. And cause I knew if I said that, she would be like, no, I'll be here forever. And then I'd be like, no, like, cause yeah. It's inevitable. I'm going to kill myself doing this. So I was trying to break up with her, but I was like, we don't see each other enough or whatever. She was like, well, she just kind of was like, this is stupid. Like yeah. you're just, like don't excuses. Yeah, don't give up on this because of some problems. Like yep. We don't see each other enough. Let's see each other more. And then I was like, okay, fine. And then I was like, okay, well, I can't break up with her then. I can't break up with her. So now I have to go to this meeting. And I had meeting apps on my phone where I'd like look like for like a whole year when I was like drinking and doing drugs, I would like look and see where the meetings were. And I'd be like, tomorrow I'm going to go. And I just never wake up in time or never go or just never right. have the.
Yeah.
And then so I left that lunch and I was like, I'm going to this meeting because those are the only two options I have, was like either break up with her or go to this meeting. And I can't break up with her. So now I have to go to this meeting. And I was like walking to the meeting, and this is like kind of corny, but like I'm walking there and the wind is at my face, like it's like cold, it's rainy, it's like that when your ear starts aching, and I go to the church where I think it's at, and it's actually four blocks ahead. And so I get there already late to the first church where I mm-hmm. thought it was, and I at the time, if I was late, I'm not going. Like yeah. that, like
you turn around.
It's so it's like yeah. it's like if there's plans you don't want to go to, I was the type of person that was like, I'll just not show up. Like I
looking for any reason, yep. just
any little hurdle.
I'm out of gas. Sorry, can't.
But for some reason, I kept going. I was like, whatever, just go. And I went to the next church, and I was 5 minutes late, and I sat down, and then I thought it was going to be really sad and like a bunch of people being like, like my life mm-hmm. sucks. And there's parts of it that were like that, but when I got in there, everyone was like really happy mm-hmm. and smiling. And my first thought was like, you fucking pussies don't know what's real like, what the trenches are like. You guys, what the trenches are no like. Fucking clue what it is. And
you guys have never had a beer at the edge of a fucking cliff, ready to fucking jump.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, I'm going to kill myself with liquor. It's just so intense and dramatic. And then I sat down and like, and it was a birthday meeting. So the meetings are usually they start with like they're structured where they do readings and they make announcements for anybody who's new to the group. They acknowledge new members and stuff. And then they'll do a reading from the big book, which is the book of the 12 steps. And they'll do a reading from there and one of the steps or one of the traditions. And then you kind of just talk about that. So like one of the steps, for example, step one is like admitted you're powerless over alcohol. That's like first step. So they'll read that step and then they'll read an excerpt from the chapter. And then they'll be like, what does that mean to you? And that's how the shares start going. So they kind of go like, clockwise or whatever. Yeah. That's usually how it works. And I didn't know that at the time, but this one was like special because it was a birthday. So your sober date is considered your sober birthday. Mm-hmm. So if it's like the first day you didn't have a drink was June 15th, the first year after that. So there's two people whose sober birthday it was, and it was June 24th. And so it was their time. The meeting was about them. So they brought some friends and some family. And then they tell their story from the beginning to the end. Mm-hmm. And I just saw all these people laughing and joking and was just thinking they have no idea what I'm going through. And they were telling stories that were like way worse.
Yeah.
For years, like decades, they were like drinking and killing themselves. And I was in like the sort of like 4 to 5 year range of like problem drinking. Yeah, yeah. And then they talked about their recovery and like what they went through and like, and what their life is like now. And it took like quite a while. And then one of the ladies was like told her whole story and then looked at me when she was like crying, and she gave me her chip from her original 1 year or 3 month chip or something like that. Yeah. It was like original chip with her date on it and stuff. She gave it to me. She was like, just give this back to me when you have 30 days. She's like, I'm so happy you're here.
Wow.
And I was just like, I was kind of just blown away. And then when I left, I know I'm fully aware that it is. I understand how wind works, but the wind was at my back when I left.
That on record,
yeah, yeah. The wind was at my back when I left, so it was at my face when I was going there, and then it was at my. I went two different ways. I know that, but that was like the metaphor for.
Momentum's in the right direction now.
Yeah, like I felt like for like up until that point in my life, I felt like everything, like drinking and just life in general, was like I was trying to fight like this river coming at me, and I was trying to kind of hold my ground.
Yeah,
that's how I felt. Everything was happening to me, yeah. and it's me trying to deal with it or whatever.
Against you, and yeah.
Yeah, and then that day I just let go and just gave into it. I didn't have any like cynicism or like I was critical, but I was like not. I just bought in because I was like, "There's no, I don't have another option, so I have to buy into everything that they're saying here."
Yeah.
And once I did, it's like this river that I was fighting. I just let it take me, and it's taken me and I to be like wonderful places.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not that funny, but
no, it's real, very though. Interesting.
Yeah,
I could vomit listening to it.
Yeah.
No, well, that's kind of an incredible metaphor about the wind, and it's funny how like little things like that happen. That like, you know, I'm not religious or spiritual or anything like that, but it's like there are certain moments in life where you're like, dude, this has got to be like a sign. Like, I don't know if it's from a dude in the clouds. Yeah. I don't know if it's from the fucking. From the whatever power, but it's like there's got to be a little bit of like okay, you're going in the right, you were going against the wind and now you're going with the wind, and yeah. that's got to mean something, you know yeah. what I'm saying? It's like,
and it's like when you start making choices for yourself, not about yourself but for yourself, things get better. They just kind of do. It's like when, and because after I made that choice, it's like my health, obviously, like the lack of drugs and alcohol like helps you obviously, but then I had more money. I had when I first quit drinking, I got a check from work, and it was, I had like $600, and I never had $600 that I had to not send to somebody that I owed already.
Sure. Yeah.
And or pay off a tab or just like immediately not have it. So I mean, I was still kind of crazy, so I was like I don't know what to do with this money, so I just bartered
Six Flags or something.
I wish I just
by himself.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
I just bartered with high school kids over basketball shoes on Facebook Marketplace.
Really?
For like 3 months.
That's
like
a man who has his freedom.
I was like in a war every day, like just like
give me these goddamn Jordans.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I know
I'm not paying $200.
And I'm not good at basketball. Like I can't. I can't dribble and run at the same time. Like,
right.
I'm so bad. But I was like, I have to get these fucking Hardens. They're so sick.
Yeah.
They're so cool. I gotta get them down and whatever. So I still had like issues or whatever, but
it's still an issue.
Yeah, you're like my life just got like a lot better. But it's not like that for everybody, you know. It's like there's a lot of people that I know that like just drink and just can drink, you know? And it's like I like that. I like watching people drink. I fucking love it.
Well, and there's nothing worse than the sober guy who, when you drink in front of, they're like, I bet you need that, don't you? And it's like, oh my god, like, come on, like, I know, but
yes, I do.
Yeah, exactly. And but they like make you, they're like, no, I don't need that to have fun. And
oh, you're just like, oh shit, dude. Mark Anthony, you know Mark Anthony Synagoga?
Yep.
He, the week before I quit drinking, I was at Urban Tavern, we were doing a show there, and I ordered it with the last $20 I had was rolled up, like the way you roll it up.
Right, sure.
And I was like, I ordered this double Jameson, and I was at the bar, and the guy goes to make it, and I pull out my 20. I'm like, fuck. Like, I unroll it.
Yeah.
And so I finally fold it enough so it's like flat, and I go to hand it to him like this, and he goes, as soon as he went to grab it, it just went, and just rolled back up. And then he just stared at me. I was like, I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I took my drink, I sat down, I was across from Mark Anthony, and I sipped the double Jameson, and I didn't even hear myself make the sound, but he was like, dude, you shouldn't make that sound when you drink a double whiskey. And I was like, what? He was like, you just went, oh god.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I did, and I must have sipped it and been like, oh
yeah, right, like this, like incredible relief. This.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oh, finally we're back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so as a comic and a writer and a creative and a performer, sometimes in that environment, performative and creativity wise, sometimes it can be enhanced by drugs and alcohol, and especially as a comic, you perform maybe a little wilder, or you think of that thing, or off the cuff, you were drunk, and so you went into this person, you said that thing that you might have not have thought of sober, yeah. and it can almost be enhanced. As a comic, cutting that out, was there a concern or a worry that like there might be some almost creativity, performative losses with this? And like, was that a battle in your head? Because it's so hard to... It's almost yeah. easier to quit an addiction when it's so in front of you that this is not good.
100%.
But maybe 100%. If you're drinking and you like you had a good set when you were drinking, it adds an extra layer to like cutting it out.
100%. And like there was the creative thing. For me, it was more like when I started learning more about like addiction and stuff, because the first thing that goes is the drinking. And what you don't tell new people to like programs or whatever is like you don't like... Drinking's the easy part to quit. Like the quitting drinking is the easy part. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you deal with life now in a way where you're not running to go get a drink? Like
with that crutch, so
what I was terrified of, even when I was quitting, and there was some comics that I knew that were sober at the time that really helped me through. I was like, is me wanting to do stand up a coping mechanism? And that was the scary part. Was I was like, am I going to fall out of love with this? Because if I fall out of love with this, it's over. Like it's like I won't do it anymore. And then who am I? And then it's like that was the big fear for me, was like, less so like, am I going to be funny? But because like the way I've always looked at it is like, I'm just going to do this until I can get as good as I can at it. So it doesn't, nothing else is going to affect that. So that's what I was scared of, is that I was like, have I been lying to myself about this thing that I love? Yeah. And thankfully, throughout everything, I've like found a healthier relationship with comedy. And that doesn't mean that I do it less. It means that I do it more and I do it better. And I'm more clinical about my approach to it. And I treat it like work. And so I'm like very grateful for that. But I never really, because like that was always like something I saw, even with new comics, where they would be like, well, I got to bring a beer on stage or whatever. And like even when I was drinking and doing coke and stuff, I was like, well, that's fucking stupid. Like, you shouldn't have to do that. Like, even though I was, because I was like, I was thinking I was different than that, because I was like, I don't bring a beer on stage. I drank nine before.
Yeah, I just drank right before.
No one has any idea I'm fucked. I remember I opened for Bobby Lee and I was at a beer garden the whole day, and I literally like fell into a cab, and I was laying in the cab on the way to the club, and I was like calling the guy and being like, you got to come to the comedy club. And I was like hammered, wasted, like could barely like stand and stuff. And then I met the guy, and then I had some in the bathroom, and then I was like back, and then I like went up, and I did well, and I got off, and I was like, oh yeah, I did it. No one had any idea. And it's like,
yeah,
they did.
Everybody knew. Yeah, everyone knew.
Yeah. I was like,
you were chewing the microphone.
You guys ever talk to your girlfriend? You're like, you're stupid. And then everyone like laughs.
Kick the shit out of your girlfriend.
Yeah. You're like, oh, you guys get it, don't you? And
everyone's
like,
a good crowd.
Laugh. You all laugh now.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it never really like my stand-up just got better. Like it was like hard adjusting a little bit because it was scarier and whatnot. But like even when I was drinking a lot, I always knew that I was better when I was sober.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So then I made it a point that when I quit, like I remember I had a little baggie in my pocket in the meeting, the first meeting I went to, that I was saving for the open mic that I was going to host on Wednesday. Cause I was like, that was the mic that I get a bar tab at. So I get $75 and I get a bar tab and I drink the fuck out of that thing.
Right.
And it's supposed to be a tab for you to give shots out to people. And I would drink the whole, $75 worth of like staff price liquor, like $75 of staff price liquor is like a decent amount of booze. So I had that in my pocket. So even at the meeting, I was like, this is great. I'm going to do this. And I was like, but on Wednesday, this is, I'm going to have to finish this and whatever. And because that's what I would do. I would like drink until I was too fucked up to like really talk. And then I would do drugs. And then I would walk to the open mic listening to like Bulls on Parade, like by Rage Against the Machine, being like, hey, Bulls on Parade. Like, here we fucking go. Like getting fucking amped up, like coming out of a locker room. Like walking onto a field. And I get up in front of like seven comedians and one like drunk audience member and with all that energy and just bomb my ass off. And so then that Wednesday I wound up just like not doing it. And then so it was important for me that I kept doing stand, like as soon as I quit, I couldn't like I knew I would relapse if I took a break from stand up and then tried to get healthy and then came back to it. I knew I would relapse right away. So I was like, I just got to jump into the deep end.
You had to separate the two in your head. You had to separate the stand up and the booze.
Yeah. And just be like, okay, you're getting clean. You're not missing a fucking day. You're not going to miss a show. You're not going to miss a mic. You're not missing a thing or else you'll have nothing. So then eventually I just, that muscle got really strong. So now when I have a hard time is when I'm in social groups, when there's not like a bar, stand up, like I don't even care. Like, wherever I am, if I'm getting offered drinks, I'm like, I don't care. I gotta do stand. Like I have, you know, like I have kind of a job to do. If I go to a party or something like that, I'm like I go to the bathroom, like as much as I did when I did coke, I go to the bathroom just to be like, okay,
get away from it all. Here,
yeah, come back and
look
in
the mirror like you can do it.
And then I come back out and I just watch people drink because I get annoyed when people don't drink fast enough. That's what bothers me. When someone's standing with a drink and they're talking,
you're like, you don't know how lucky you are.
I literally can't listen to the story. I'm like, if someone's like talking and they're holding a pint and it's like there's this much in it,
right?
The whole time I'm like, finish it. So
that's funny. Well, I mean, that's very interesting. I didn't know you was that introspective about it. That's, I like that a lot. That the story of kind of finding it and then separating it in your head and realizing that if you give up booze and then you start sacrificing stand up, it kind of in your head makes a connection between the two.
Yeah, that's what I think people are scared of, because people have said that to me a lot. Like, oh, I don't know if I could quit because it just gets me in the mood, or it just gets me like this, or it just gets me like that. And I'm not going to like pontificate and be like, well, that's not something that you should blah, 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 blah. Like if you're a fucking alcoholic and it works for you, like, I don't give a fuck. Like it's your life. But whenever a comic has said that to me, I'm like, you're just scared that you don't actually love this. You're just scared. Because I was. So I know that you're just scared that it's not about this. That you're doing this to avoid getting better.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to do this coping mechanism. It's easier to drink. It's easier to do stand-up. That's why I'm like particular about the like comedy is therapy, where it's like it's therapeutic.
Right.
Just like weed is. Just like a drink can be. Just like anything can be. But it's not therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I always just see it as like fear. If someone is like, I will be less creative, it's like, no, you're going to quit.
Yeah, you'll
quit
stand-up
and get a job. And you've been talking for the last 7 years, drinking beers on stage, being like, people who have jobs are fucking idiots.
Yeah. Right.
You put that
it's
down.
It's a lot scarier to get on stage bone sober every time and like face your fears. Yeah. Truly.
Do you love it? Like,
because
I love it.
Like, you got to find out.
Yeah.
Hey guys, hope you're enjoying this episode of the Big Brain Boys. Just a reminder, if you're watching on YouTube and you want to listen offline, we've got Spotify, Apple, everywhere you get your audio podcasts, go download those. And if you want video, if you're listening on audio right now, hit the YouTube, subscribe it, follow to the social medias at the Big Brain Boys. Hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. So this, we give super shitty advice. Lived with this girl at uni last year, ended up being one of my best mates and had a massive thing for her, but nothing ever happened between us.
Stupid. Sorry. Dumb. You're dumb.
Come to this year at uni, we're living in different places but at the same uni. Seen her a few times in clubs and out around the city. It was always flirty between us. Cut a long story short, she came back to my house for afters and we ended up doing some bits. A week or two later, we slept with each other.
What do you mean bits?
Bits are like, I think it's Coke or M, one of the two.
Oh, okay. Oh. Okay. Nice.
I think this guy's Aussie. And none of it, Aussies always like, they're like, dude, like the way they called shelving and pingers and everything like that. They like put MDMA
all,
up their ass.
They're all, they're all meth heads too. Cause coke is too, too expensive.
It's like $300 a gram in Australia. Yeah.
So she's an addict, a meth addicted person.
Seen her a few times in clubs. So come to uni. Nothing ever happened between us. Cut of this year at uni. We're living in different places. Seen her a few times at clubs, always flirty. Cut a long story short, she came back to my house for afters and we ended up doing some bits. A week or two later, we slept with each other. None of it felt casual. In fact, quite the opposite. Maybe that's me being optimistic. We're still talking on and off, but nothing too major, so don't really know how to proceed. Really like her and all, but don't want to ruin a good friendship by asking her if it was casual / telling her I actually like her. How should things go?
You're asking me?
Extra detail. It's also more complicated because it's within a friend group, so it's all been DL. So he had a thing for a girl. They fucked after a long time of him really, really liking her, and they fucked. And she's not really talking to him back right now. What should he do? How should he tell her that he likes her?
Just tell her. Just be a fucking man. Tell her, and then And then when she shuts you down and says she doesn't feel the same way, just cry. Pretend she doesn't exist and just don't ever look at her in the eyes again and move.
Yeah. They're in the same friend group, though. They're all the same friends.
Find new friends.
Yeah, I think just find out where she lives, park outside her house, watch her through the windows, and then...
it's kind of like we were saying earlier, you have to commit.
Yeah, if you really like her, show how much you like her, call her a lot, leave her voicemails, text her crazy things, I'm going to kill myself. Show her that you love her.
If she declines, that doesn't mean a no.
Yeah, the first no never means no.
Yeah. Do you agree with that? I say commit.
Do you agree with that?
Just be her boyfriend without setting that as a contract.
Just tell people.
Do everything a boyfriend would do and then until she gets a real one. And then,
right. Yeah. Or and then, she actually becomes.
Yeah. Guys actually until she gets the hint.
Yeah.
Do girl stuff at her. Do girl stuff by dropping hints.
Yeah.
And then she'll pick that up.
Oh, okay. So I say commit. Don't pussyfoot it, because if you go like, hey, I know we were like friends and stuff, and I know we kind of like hooked up, I'm just wondering, like, you know, I kind of like you, I think that's a recipe for disaster. I think you have to throw rocks at her window.
Go up and be like, it's our 1 month anniversary, and she's like, what? And be like, I love you so much, and just really throw her for
you're
a
crazy
loop.
When you say stuff like that. Yeah, you're crazy
when you don't remember who I am.
I'll pick you up tomorrow.
Yeah, just always leave the car running.
Yeah,
always never turn that car off.
Yeah.
Always keep it running. And clear and simple communication about how you feel towards someone is never
overrated.
Never the way to go.
That's stupid, yeah.
Why would you do that? Ugh. Why do you want this a solution? No, you want to continue to feel the anxiety so your body produces adrenaline so that every time you think about her, you feel anxiety, you have adrenaline.
Yeah.
And that's very similar to the meth that you fucking Aussies put in your body.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. You're welcome.
I seen Ari Shaffir just do this. Thoughts on people who open mouth tongue kiss their dogs? Acceptable or not? Do both of you do it?
I mean, no. Like, what do you mean open mouth tongue kiss? Like,
seen people do that with their dogs?
Like, let a dog lick the inside of your mouth?
Yeah.
Fuck no. I let a dog lick my face, not the inside of my mouth.
Will?
I think it's okay. Not that I don't do it.
But you think it's acceptable?
Sure. I think speaking to a dog as though it's going to like understand your sentence makes as much sense as open mouth kissing it.
Fuck off, dude.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I just do. Being like, who's the best little boy? Who's the best little boy? Just communicating. Like, the dog has no... Like, the dog would probably like it better if it could just lick the inside of your mouth. Maybe get...
Shut up and give me that mouth.
Yeah. You have some breakfast left over in that mouth. At least that can benefit me. Rather than just someone being like, hey, we are the best one in the whole world, aren't you? If I was a dog, it'd give me anxiety.
Yeah. Get the fuck away
kiss
from
your,
me.
Kiss your dog. Don't talk to your dog. That would be such a funny way to train your dog. You're just like, come here. And then the dog just like goes and gets you a beer. And you're like, see, I got it pretty fucking.
Around all the boys.
That would be like, that'd be so funny on internet. Like all the videos on the internet where they send the dog to get a beer. And he comes back. He's like, good boy. And his friends are
like, Jesus
oh my
Christ.
God. Oh, shit, we got to watch the game somewhere else.
Yeah.
This guy freaks us the fuck out.
How do blind people know when it's time to stop wiping?
How do you know when you're done wiping? If you're blind, who gives a fuck? Like, you're
blind. You got bigger things to worry about. Like stairs.
Yeah, someone's like, oh, what's that smell? It's like, where's the stairs? How about that for a question?
Where am I?
Are we inside or outside right now?
I just shit in the laundry basket. You think I'm worried about how dirty my ass is?
Yeah, do you think I do my own laundry? Get the fuck out of here.
Oh,
you should
just a guy with those blind glasses on.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. What's that smell?
What's that smell?
What year is it? Yeah.
I don't know. Where am I? How about you answer me that?
Let's start more broad. Yeah.
Let's start there and work backwards.
Yeah.
Holy fuck. Where are the stairs?
What an insulting question to ask a blind person.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you participate in society so well? Like, did you have struggles with... Wait, never mind. How do you know how to wipe your own asshole, you pig?
Odds I can start at OnlyFans at 41.
Male, female?
Or female. Probably. I'm going to blow up her name right now.
Pretty, oh. Probably pretty high.
I think odds she can be successful.
The hardest part as a 41-year-old starting OnlyFans is going to be figuring out how to sign up for it. Like
technology, through the login,
no literacy. They
email you
wise.
The confirmation link, and you have to go to email and then click on the confirmation link. Like that's a 40-year-old's nightmare. Yeah,
you're gonna have to. The hardest part is gonna be picking up the phone to call your kids to ask them to show you how to set this
Can
up.
Can you help mommy start an OnlyFans?
Yeah, I have a webcam from 2006. No one wants to see your pixelated.
And
dude,
you know she's on an Android too.
Yeah,
dude.
It's like you're gonna have to get a 4K camera to see all the.
Yeah,
sorry.
Did you hear about the high school football player who was, I guess, committed to Florida? He was a quarterback, and a video came out of him like shouting the N-word in a rap song, like singing along to a rap song, shouting the N-word. And he lost. You've heard about this, obviously?
No.
What? Oh, damn. I thought you would have been all this. So a kid like 17 or whatever, high school kid, committed to Florida University as a football player. Video came out of him being like, you know, rapping along to a video and saying the N-word. Lost scholarship, like whatever, banned from the school, everything like that. What do you think about that and white people saying the N-word in rap songs?
Where was he going to go?
Florida.
He was going to go to Florida? He'll probably get another scholarship like to Alabama. They'll be like, we love that shit. Get over here.
Yeah.
Get over here.
Yeah. They're like, we've seen your tape.
Yeah. Why don't you put that on your resume initially?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. They turned him down at first, and then he's like, a callback.
We saw your mixtape, and we love it.
Yeah. We're big fans of that.
He's like, do you want to know my vert? They're like, no, it's fine.
Vert? How high can you jump while saying that word?
That's funny.
They did that in the Woodstock documentary, the Woodstock 1999. They showed DMX running around, and he's singing like "Where am I at?" and he'll go like "Where am I?" It's just one guy. Yeah. No, only hitting. He's doing this for the one word.
Yeah, yeah. He's doing it because it's funny for him. He's let's see him all do it.
Yeah. imagine like way back in the day, like if someone in the future came and showed like slave owners like a video of DMX doing that, they'd be like, "Oh, so shit's still the same?"
Yeah, he's like, "Shit's good." Good. Yeah.
A couple hundred years later.
Not lots changed. I can sleep safe knowing my grandkids will be able to say whatever the hell they like.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks so much for checking out that episode of the Big Brain Boys. Big thank you to Will for coming on. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Be sure to follow, subscribe, all the socials, YouTube, wherever you get your audio podcasts, everything like that. All of Will's social media will be in the description. Thanks so much for checking us out, and see you next episode.
Knowledge. Curiosity for learning.
Smartest guy in the room alert.
Stupid.
My brain is big and smart.